All right. So we're going to start off with a word of prayer. And before we pray, we're going to do something a little special because we're going to put our hands way up in the air like this. Okay? We're going to clap them together. Okay? And now we're going to fold them. And now when we bring them right past our eyes, we're going to close our eyes. And then we're going to close our mouths and we're going to bow our head and we're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, and we thank you that each one of these girls has come to camp this week, Lord. And I just pray that your spirit would be poured out on this meeting right now and that you would give me the words to say, Lord, and that the hearts would be opened and touched and that we would just see a glimpse of who you are and how much you desire to have a relationship with each and every one of us. And I thank you for this beautiful day that you have given us. And I just pray this all in your precious and holy name. Amen. All right. I want to tell you girls a little bit first about myself. So I'm going to just give you my testimony of how God has worked in my life and how he has, when he saved me. So I was born in Milwaukee, and as a little girl, I grew up in a Christian home. Both my parents are Christians. And so I knew the Bible and I knew God's word. And we would hear stories of, you know, the Bible stories and things like that. And so when I was little, my mom was telling the story of the Wordless Book, which is a book with no words and it's just colors. And so she was telling this story, practicing to share it with a group of kids. And so I heard it, and my brother heard it, and so I had, my brother wanted to try to do it also, so my older brother sat down, and he was practicing on me, and so I was really little, but when he did that, I prayed and accepted Jesus, but that is just, I was really little, so I don't think I really understood, but I knew that I wanted a relationship with Jesus, and so one day I was sitting, and I was looking through my little kids' story Bible, and I saw the pictures of Jesus and how he had to die on the cross. And I came to my mom and I was crying and I asked her, why did Jesus have to die? And so my mom explained to me that it was because of the sin that was in my heart and in the hearts of each and every person. And so because of that sin, Jesus had to die on the cross. And he did that for me. And he did that for each one of us. And so at that time, she asked if I would like to accept Jesus as my personal Savior. And I did right there. I prayed and I accepted Jesus and the work that he did on the cross for me. So that's kind of just my testimony of how I, when I was saved. Well, when I grew up, and I was probably about 12 or 13, and the Lord started working in my life, and some things had changed in my life. We had been living in California for about 8 years, and those 8 years were probably, I was probably like 4 till, well, we moved back when I was like 12 or 13, so the 8 years before that. And so those years were years probably about your guys' age where you're making new friends and you're getting close to friends and you're kind of growing up with them. And so I had some friends that were really close to me, and but we had to move back here because that's where we felt the Lord was leading us. And so we moved back, and when we moved back here, I had no friends. There was nobody. The church we went to didn't have any young people my age. And so I had no friends. And it was, we weren't in a homeschool group, and we were homeschooling, so we didn't go to school. And so we didn't really know anybody. But those, it was probably like that for 3 years. But those years, I can look back now and see how God was working in my life. And during that time, I grew closer to Jesus, and he became my best friend because I didn't have other friends to goof off with. I didn't have other friends to talk to or to share stuff with. All I had was me. I had my siblings, so, but we probably didn't get along very good at that time. No, I had my sister, but Jesus became my closest friend. And so I look back now and see how God used those years of when I was by myself, well, I had no friends, but God used those. So I'm so grateful for that time in my life. All right, so I want somebody to look up Psalms 8, verse 3. Rebecca, why don't you read it?
And I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained.
Okay, so there it's talking about, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. How many of you like stars? I absolutely love looking at the stars. And you know why I like looking at the stars? It's because I know God put them there and they're just beautiful. You can go out on a clear night and you look up and it's so big and you just think of how big God is, and He placed each one of those stars in the sky. And it just shows us how big our God is and how awesome He is. And I could never think of doing something like that. But God created that. He placed those there. And so I love looking at the stars. And we have the moon and we have things like that. And so we can see how big our God is when we look at that. I like, they have meteor showers. And so sometimes we get our, we take some beds outside and we lay them out in the driveway. And we just lay out there and we, watch the meteors go by, and I just love looking at that because I love seeing the big vastness of the sky and how my God put that there. And so I just love that. Okay, can we look up Genesis 1:1? Can you read it for us?
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
All right, the first verse in the Bible, in the beginning, God, and then He created the heavens and the earth. We see that there wasn't some big bang theory, there wasn't some explosion or micros or whatever. It was God, and in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So if we look outside right now and we see the trees and we see the beautiful flowers that are planted all around, and we see the differences of each little flower, and we see butterflies fly and the little differences in them and how beautiful they are, and this is just getting a picture of how creative our God is, and He made each one of those. All right, and now let's look up Psalms 139, verses 13 and 14. Okay, go ahead and read them.
For you formed my inward part, covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, God, earthly and heavenly made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well.
Yes. All right, so everybody pick up your hands. Everybody see your hands? Okay, look at your hands. Do you see the tips of your fingers? Okay, now take the person's hand next to you and compare it to the tips of your fingers. Do you see they're all different, each and every one? Those are your fingerprints. Okay, and we see, we look around and look at everybody's hair. Okay, we see that people's hair, they have, Andrew has red hair, and, oh yeah, I have red hair too. And we have girls who have blonde hair and dark hair, we have girls who have straight hair and curly hair, and God created each and every little detail about who you are. It says, for He formed my inward parts and covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Him, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. When you, God created you in your mother's womb, and He loves you very much, that He took the time to take each little detail of who you are and create you just the way He wanted you. We look at the flowers and how much time He maybe put into those, that He thought of those. Well, He loves you more than any of His other creation, and He took the time to form you personally. He wanted you just the way you are. Isn't that awesome? Now, when we look in the mirror, and sometimes we look in the mirror and we go, oh, I don't really like this about me. I don't really like this about me. I wish I could change this. I wish I could do this. No, God wants you just the way you are, and He loves you very much for the way you are, and He took the time to create you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, O Lord. And so that is amazing. Okay, so this is the God that we get to serve when we are saved. We get to serve Him, and But there's one thing. We're going to look at kind of what we are now. Okay, so I need somebody to look up Romans 3:23. Okay, go ahead and read it.
For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Okay. It says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So who is all? Raise your hand if you're part of the all. Yeah. So what does that mean?
Everybody.
We're all sinners, right? Yes, we're all sinners. And that's who we are. We're filthy, rotten sinners, okay? And we just talked about how big our God is and how amazing He is. Well, we're just filthy, rotten sinners. But He made a way for us. He loves us so very much that He sent His Son so that He could fellowship with us, that He could make us holy, okay? I'm going to read Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3. It says, and you He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom you also all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. So there it talks how we were filthy and we lived in the sin. In sin, it says, who were dead in trespasses and sin. That dead there means that we wanted nothing to do with the gospel of Christ. We were dead. We weren't alive in it. And so when we get saved, we become alive in the gospel. We love what the Lord has to say. And so we were dead in trespasses and sin. Can somebody look up Colossians 2, verse 13? Go ahead.
And you being dead in your sins and the circumcision of your flesh.
That's good.
Okay.
Just that first part. Yes, we were dead in our trespasses and sins, okay? We were in our flesh. And it says in Isaiah 64, does somebody want to quick look that one up? 64 verse 6. Isaiah 64. Okay, go ahead and read it.
We are all like our own things, and all our righteousness are so today. We all say that we are the things of the world.
Yes, so it says there even our righteousness is like filthy rags to Him. And so even though that we are sinners, Christ died for us. Okay, so who knows John 3:16? Okay, can we all say it together? John 3:16. For God sinned short of the glory. No. For God so loved. There you go. Son.
Everlasting life.
Very good. Okay, did y'all memorize the one before that? Or? Okay, no. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God sent His only Son so that we could live with Him, so that we can fellowship with Him. And He had to do that. He had to send His Son to die on the cross, to wipe away our sins, because God is a holy God, and in heaven there can be no unrighteousness, there can be no sin. And so He had to make a way to fellowship with us, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. Does anybody know Psalms 23? Yes? Can you quote the first verse?
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Yes. Who loves that verse? No, but I mean, really, have you guys thought about this verse? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You guys, it's not just about reading the Bible and going, oh yeah, that's a really good verse, because everybody raises their hands, it's a really good verse. No, this, if we look at God's Word, and we take it and we apply it to our lives personally, and we look at that verse and it says, the Lord is our shepherd, I shall not want. Who knows what a shepherd is? Ariana, can you tell us what a shepherd is?
A
of all the sheep. That's right. And they do more than that because they protect their sheep. They guide their sheep. They bring them to water. They bring them to green grass so they can eat. Those sheep would not be able to survive without their shepherd. Okay, so that is what God is to us. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He protects us. He guides us. He gives us life. He feeds us with His word. He gives us the living water to drink. Okay, so that verse is more than just, oh yeah, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. And it even gets better because not only does He lead us and guide us, it says we shall not want. Okay, that doesn't mean we won't, like, I want a new car, but that's not what it's talking about. It means that if we're seeking the Lord, that we will be filled and He will renew us. He is an everlasting, that His fountain never runs dry. We can always go to the Lord and He will always renew us and give us strength no matter what. It says in Proverbs, forget the reference, but in there it talks about if we seek Him diligently. It's Proverbs 8, verse 17. Does somebody, Cora, want to find that one? Proverbs 8.
I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me.
Okay, very good. And mine says, seek me diligently shall find me. But if we're seeking the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, that is when we really get fed by Him. If we're just reading our Bibles because we have to, if we're just seeking Him because, you know, we know it's the right thing to do, if we're not seeking with all of our hearts, we're not going to be renewed like we should be. But when we seek with all of our hearts, when we seek Him early, when we seek Him diligently with all of our hearts, then we will be filled. Can somebody look up Psalm 62, verse 8?
Got it.
Elizabeth, why don't you read it?
Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us.
Yeah. Okay, this verse I was reading in my quiet time one morning, and I read this Psalm 62, and a couple verses just hit me. I was, it was just in my quiet time, and this one verse really meant a lot to me. And so I started memorizing this Psalm 62, because I knew there was a lot in there that God wanted me to apply to my life. And so this one verse I wanted to share with you girls because it meant a lot to me. It says, trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. And the part that God really hit me with was pour out your heart before Him. And just to realize that this is God's word speaking to us. And right there He said He wants us to pour out our hearts before Him. And so that means whatever's on our heart, He wants to hear what we have on our hearts. He wants to be that friend to us. It says He sticks closer than a brother. He wants us to pour out our hearts towards Him. He is sitting there waiting for you girls to come before Him in prayer or anytime, wherever you are, and say, Lord, I need your help with this. Lord, I'm weak and I can't do this right now. Lord, I need you. He is waiting with open arms. You guys, you got to realize how awesome that is. We talked about the God who placed the stars in the universe. This is the God who is waiting for you, and He loves you and cares for you. And this is awesome, okay? I want you guys to realize how awesome this is, because you can have it for yourself. God has given it to me, and I love Him for it. Those years where I had no other friends, those were special to me because Jesus became my best friend, and He wants me to pour out my heart before Him. And He wants you to do the same exact thing. Okay? Can somebody read Revelation 3, verse 20? Okay, go ahead and read it.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me.
All right, he's standing at the door and he's knocking. And he's waiting for you to open so that he can fellowship with you. Can somebody read Colossians 2, verse 13? I think Hope had it, and this was the second part of it. I think.
Got it.
Okay, go ahead.
And you will be dead in your trespasses and your uncircumcision, and he has made alive together with him, and forgiven you all the trespasses.
Okay. Yes, he made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Those requirements that we have that are condemning us to hell, he's taken those and he's wiped them away. He's nailed them to the cross. I wasn't planning on going to this one, but you guys were learning Isaiah 53 verses 5 and 6. And I love those verses. I had meditated on those verses a couple months back and was trying to memorize them. And I just love those verses because it talks about how it was a prophecy of what was going to come to pass. And it says, surely he has borne our griefs, he has carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus took all of our iniquities, all of our filth and sin, and put them on himself. And by his stripes, we are healed. And sometimes I think of what Christ had to go through and the pain that he had to go through by being beaten and nailed to a cross. But you know what I think sometimes is that what hurt him most was that the people around him, everybody was calling out to crucify him. And those are the people he came to seek out and to save. But they were the ones who were, he was smitten by God. We have led everyone away. They all hated him. And he came to save them. And I think sometimes we can get physically hurt, but it's those hurts that hurt us inside that hurt the most. And they last the longest. But he went through all of that. He went through all of that so that he could have a personal relationship with each and every one of us. And I just think that's so special. We will close in prayer. Girls, I just want you to realize that God is an awesome God. We are sinners and we need a Savior. And he wants to fellowship with each one of us. And it says in, is it Timothy? That about the youth, don't let people despise you because of your youth. Girls, even though you think you're too little maybe to understand things, or some reading your Bible is way too hard, or older people are so much more godly than you are and you'll never get there. Don't despise yourself because you're young. You can have a relationship with Jesus just like anybody else. Just like the old ladies that we get wisdom from. Just like the younger ladies that you look up to. You can have the same relationship that any one of us have. Okay? And we are all learning. I am still learning. I read my Bible every day. I still seek the Lord because we will never be done learning. I don't have all the answers, but I know someone who does. And so when I don't have the answers, I know exactly where to go. And you can go to the same spot. Okay? Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for answering prayers. Lord, I just thank you that you are with us, Lord, and that you guide us. And Lord, I just pray that that our hearts would be open to you, Lord, and that we would realize that you are waiting. You are at the door knocking for us, Lord, and that you want us to come and pour our hearts out before you. And that you have a way of salvation, Lord, and that is through your Son, Jesus Christ. And I just pray that each and every one of us would look to your word, Lord, and see what you have for each and every one of us personally. And I just thank you, and I pray that you would bless the rest of the day, and that our minds would be stayed on you, Lord, and that our focus would be you. And I just pray that you would bless the rest of the day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.